This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. Well, last weekend, Jeffrey, last Monday, we came in thinking, this could be an 0-3 weekend. Frankly, the Tigers salvaged at the end. This weekend, between those two teams, a 3-0 weekend. Perfect 3-0 weekend to celebrate.
Literally all you could ask for.
Literally all you could ask for. So, I do have an announcement. I'm never retiring. That's my announcement, Jeffrey. Mm. And I say that because some of you will take that as good news and some of you will take that as bad news.
Are you using this as negotiation leverage? That's pretty hot in the streets these days. publicly announcing one thing just to try and get a better deal.
No, it's the S&P 500 is down another almost 2% today. And so for the week, it's a mess. Let's just see what we got here. For the month, it's down 6.48%. So, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm like here for the long haul, mm-hmm. and that's good. I work out and stuff,
yeah,
so
sure.
You know, I'm in pretty good health. So that's good. And how was your weekend, by the way? Just generally speaking.
So it's air quotes spring break for.
Happy spring break, by the way.
Correct.
Spring break for
I think Shelby County Schools because that's what my daughter.
Yes, it is.
She's at my in-laws, and then my wife went on a girls' weekend.
Oh, really?
Down
where'd
to Oxford. She went down to Oxford, like some of her friends that live elsewhere in Mississippi. So they went there, and then so I was basically just chilling out at home by myself. It's amazing how quiet a house gets
when you're by.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah.
For better or worse,
to think you spent a lot of your life living like that,
correct?
You know, and it's kind of a throwback.
What did I do all weekend? I sat around and watched sports.
I watched a lot of sports. I had a very interesting thing happen to me over the weekend. It was when I was at the Tigers game Friday. I was notified that a friend of mine, they were out of town. Okay, they were out of town. And they were at a place where they decided, you know what? We would like to treat everybody in this entire establishment to Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Okay. So they placed an order.
As long as it wasn't on a Sunday.
They placed an order of Chick-fil-A this Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. 20 milkshakes, you know.
Good carbs.
20 sandwiches, 20 large fries. Whatever. And they did it by DoorDash. But they were out of town, recall. they didn't change the address
mm-hmm.
as to where it was delivered.
This and is so, why I don't order online.
So then they got a photo of literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars
of food at their house
of Chick-fil-A sitting on their porch.
It's a tough scene.
So they texted me.
Big win for the raccoons.
They texted me.
Can you go grab the food?
I'm your friendly raccoon in this scenario. And they just said, could you want the food? Go get the food. Now, I don't have teenage boys at home. Now, Claire has two sons who live in town now and whatever. So Claire was at the game, too. So she swung by. I was still covering Penny and stuff, right? She picked up this entire load. So then what do you have? You have now 20 sandwiches. You know, it was bags and grocery bags worth of Chick-fil-A. Just there was yogurt, there was brownies, there's all these fries, there's milkshakes, milkshake upon milkshake upon milkshake, salads. Some people did salads. There were salads. Like,
the old guilt-free salad. Now I can eat that. Now I can have that 2,000 calorie milkshake.
What do you do with this?
I mean, first things first, you got to get the milkshakes in the freezer. You got to
Here's the other problem. The milkshakes, by the time they were obtained, we were notified of this about 7 o'clock, and
correct.
The game didn't end till 10. The milkshakes, you just pitch them all?
I mean, you got to. What is salvageable? I think that's the first question. So probably the chicken, the salad, and the fries.
Well, so what? Claire triaged it, and she. The milkshakes went in the freezer, although she forgot about a dozen of them in her car. So we have, and they're icy now, but they're still kind of tasty. I've had two since then. They're still kind of, you chip away at the ice, you know, they're still good. They went in the freezer. The fries went into big bags of the freezer, and then you put them in the air fryer.
Yeah.
So we got like freezer bags, you know, gallon freezer bags of fries in the freezer. The sandwiches, some went in the freezer. As sandwiches, some she triaged down just to save the chicken patty because there were too much gunk and stuff. You know, like, do you want all that gunk? Whatever. So it's a bunch of chicken. Oh, there were nuggets. Nuggets in the freezer. Some yogurts in the fridge. Some yogurts in the freezer. Brownies, cookies. So basically, the entire weekend, all I've been eating is Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, but you had Chick-fil-A on Sunday. Probably might be the only one.
I'm the only one who had Chick-fil-A on Sunday. Mm-hmm. In fact, next Sunday, if any of you folks want Chick-fil-A next Sunday, too. I said to Claire, and I woke up yesterday, I said, so what do you want? What kind of Chick-fil-A do you want for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we are rich. I may be retirement savings poor.
The only other thing you could have done is...
We could have gone to like a shelter,
No, I was saying you could have done the old repackage take to church on Sunday and just like announce, like, here you go. Like, you put it out like on the old table.
The problem is the sandwiches are kind of
old
then. Nothing's cold fries. I just don't think, it works at church. I do think we could have driven around the city and just handed out, you know, at MAPCO's mm-hmm. and wherever where you see. Our unhoused friends.
Yeah, the truth is they don't really want that.
I think some do. Like, Claire actually was once driving through a Chick-fil-A, and she has the app. And so they gave her a chicken sandwich, and a guy was literally standing right there. He would look, and she gave him the sandwich. He couldn't have been more delighted. I think, yes, like most of us prefer cash rather than gifts in kind.
Yep.
Right? Most of us prefer cash. Anyway... So I am rich in Chick-fil-A. I'm so rich in Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry. I should talk about sports here. This is a sports talk show. That the other thing happened yesterday was I told you someone slammed into me at the light the other day.
Yep.
Well, my back gate hatch still works. Right?
Okay. That's a win.
And I just said, I finally texted the guy and I said, I mean, my car's a 2006, right?
At least.
And there's literally all it is a big ass dent in the back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
He'd given me his cell number. I finally texted him and I said, you know what? It's a 2006. I'm just going to drive around with it. Don't worry about it. I took a picture of it and I said, have a good day. Be careful out there. He then wrote back and said, can I have your address? I'd like to at least send you a pie or a card or whatever else, you know, something, a traditional thank you. He said, or I'm an electrician if you have any electrician needs.
Okay.
I had minutes before discovered that an outdoor outlet that I wanted to work did not work. And so I said, well.
Come on down.
Matter of fact, And so, now mind you, I do think it would have been a multi-thousand-dollar, because that's the way body work works, multi-thousand, had I actually said, you need to pay for this, and he wanted to pay for it cash rather than putting on his insurance, it would have been certainly $1,200, $1,500, whatever.
Yeah, might have totaled out your car, though.
Might have totaled out the car. Good point. Anyway, so I had a very eventful weekend, and I am rich in Chick-fil-A, if not quite. Not quite yet enjoying the greatness that has been bestowed upon us. Anyway, it was a great weekend. It was a great weekend in the world of sports where we'll start with the Tigers. I was down there Friday night, and the question that I asked last week was, when is the celebration, right? Was it after beating UAB, or was it after beating UTSA and clinching a share of the conference title, or was it going to be Friday night? And I have the answer. It was Friday night. It was Friday night.
Second half.
They were all celebrations. Oh, the first half was ridiculous.
Woo, that was not a good watch.
They were all celebrations. The UAB, we saw Penny go in the locker room, get showered with water, everything else. That was great. Dancing, whatnot. UTSA, they won't clinch the share of the title. John Martin wrote a column. Ooh, they want to clinch the share of the title. But I show up Friday night, and I don't really write a lot of sports live game columns anymore. I'm going to do it during the tournament and whatever, but I've sort of cut back on that. But I did go Friday.
Conference tournament or the next week?
Well, I'm going to the conference tournament.
Okay.
If they get to the title game, Jennifer, our friend, the sex therapist, Jennifer Valley, sex therapist to the stars, and on our show, her son is getting married Saturday. Jacob, who
shout
actually,
out Jacob.
Jacob was with us. Yeah, and it actually is over at Fox now. He's getting married Saturday, so I got that wedding and the Tony Allen thing's happening and everything else. So
it's a full weekend.
It's a full weekend. So if they get to the game, but Sunday there will be the game, which, by the way, it's at 2:15 is the championship game tip.
I believe it's the last game.
So I'm going to just get in my car and drive down. But you'll also have Selection Sunday there too, right?
Yeah.
And so the way they do it, they'll play the game, and then win or lose, they'll have them sit in the chairs and they'll watch Selection Sunday show, and they'll see where they're going. And because all that's happening at one place, I want to be there to chronicle that. But anyway, I went Friday because it was, well, A, because Tim Buckley was sick, but B, it was I thought it was going to be a great scene. And I did learn as soon as I got there that they were going to cut down the nets, win or lose. Now, can you imagine if they lose to South Florida, what that net cutting ceremony would have been like?
I believe
you gotta cancel the net cutting ceremony. If
Tom Crean, I wonder if like Indiana maybe did it once, where I remember that. Like there was maybe Wisconsin. Like, yeah, I've seen it happen in the Big Ten. It typically happens in the bigger conferences where, you know, you don't play everybody, so there's more sharing
right.
because of the conference record.
But
it's even, I'm with you.
Sharing it, even sharing it might be okay if you lost to some titanic struggle, right?
Sure.
But if you lose a game where you're favored big, you should absolutely roll over a horrible team. And then
there's something about being a 13-point favorite
and then you cut down the nets.
That's a tough
scene. I'm like, you got to have some self-respect, man. You got to cancel the net cutting at that. I keep net cutting. I got to say net, not nut.
Yeah, it's
net
tough.
Cutting. Mm-hmm. You got to cancel the net cutting at that point.
So I mean, in fairness, this is right before, you know, tournament, the March Madness. That's a big net cutting time.
Gotta get it's a big net cutting. Yep, exactly.
And net.
And nut. So anyway, you get in there, and I was also a little bit, I didn't know, I was a little concerned about what the crowd would be like, because it's late on a Friday.
Yeah, 8 p.m.
8 p.m. on a Friday.
A weird start time.
And I have to say, crowd was great. Crowd was great. I mean, it's not packed. It's never packed anymore. But it was a big crowd. It was loud. It was like they were cranked. And shout out to Eli Wyatt, who played the national anthem on his saxophone. Now, Eli Wyatt, I happen to get this because I'm a crack reporter. Eli Wyatt, and I might not have been as nervous during the first half had I known this. Eli Wyatt, now, when he plays the national anthem on the saxophone before a Memphis Tiger basketball game, 5-0! 5-0!
And they didn't wear the black jerseys.
Eli Wyatt, and actually a good story, by the way. It just goes to show the reach of the University of Memphis. He's from Fairbanks, Alaska. He is a jazz saxophonist, and he could have gone to any million of places. He's an incredibly talented jazz saxophonist, and he was recruited by Michael Schultz, a professor at the University of Memphis. And as soon as he said, he came up to Fairbanks, where I'm from, I was in high school, I texted him. And I got to work with him for a couple of weeks, and he was basically my choice from that point. So he comes here from Alaska, and now he's a perfect 5-0, baby, for the Memphis Tigers. So that was great. Crowd was great. And then the first half, oh, my God. But here's the truth. There was a lot riding on that game. There's a lot riding on every game. They have to be perfect, right? And then for me personally, I wanted to write about a win. I went there to write about the scene. I'm like, come on, man. And think of Calkins. Think of me.
Yeah.
Think of me in this. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't like seeing other people. And then Dane Danger's throwing the damn ball all over the place. I think they had 10 turnovers in the first half. Literally half of South Florida's points were off of Memphis turnovers. I'm like, you are not taking my situation seriously here, or your own situation seriously here. I'm just so ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
It was like those good old-fashioned, like, live ball. Here's a layup. Just enjoy a layup.
There's
a free two for you. Here you go.
And you just knew they were the better team.
Yes.
There was no question. And so I really wasn't worried about them losing much because I just knew they would. And sure enough, that's what happened. The second half. First of all, Memphis Palm, which I wrote about last week. They came out for the 50th celebration, and it was no one left. Like, everyone was in their seats, and it was great. It was great. They knocked it out of the park. And so that was great. The crowd was great. The anthem was great. And then in the second half, the team was great.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the win, 84-68, to run their record to 16-2, 26-5, 16-2 in conference. You want the stats from the game. They out-rebounded South Florida 43-30. They were 10 of 25 from three. Dane Danger and P.J. Haggerty both with 20 points. Tyrese Hunter with 16 points. P.J. Haggerty, when he would go to the line, everyone would chant one more. You could have been greedier. You know, why just one?
I think you got to start small.
You did make it a reasonable
and
ask.
Let's be real. It's not like
two more years.
Why not
2 more years?
Because everyone's year to year. No one's signing. You know,
so you just want him back next year.
Correct. And then you can do one more year next year as well. But
he, by the way, after the game, he was not carried away by the emotion and said, absolutely, I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
If he had, we wouldn't have necessarily believed him. Right?
Sure.
100%, right? We wouldn't have believed him. By the way, so I have something, one thing to say about that. But he wasn't even in the moment. He said, well, I'm just focused on this year.
That's businessman.
I did have a father and son come up and say how much they appreciate listening to us in the morning. They have taken to saying the phrase 100%. And when they say it, they get corrected by their wife, his wife. She says it's 100%. And Evan, I just said 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say 100% here. I guess it's something we say a lot.
That's sure. I'll take your word for it.
And they think it's 100%, not 100%.
Okay.
I think that's being a stickler.
Yeah.
I think people, it conveys what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
People know we're talking about 100%.
But
is
I'm
it
not
you who says it or me? I think it's you who say it. You say
probably
it more than I do. Anyway, but nice to know. He was nice, really lovely guy. It was lovely guy.
I feel like that was when my wife was watching like Love Island a lot. It's a very British thing to say, like 100%. Like, I feel like I started saying it because it just like incepted in my
brain. I was thrilled to chat with him, and it was nice. Honestly, he the lad was, I don't know, 12, 9, whatever, and nice to know where we have a, you know, we've got a rich and varied demographic. from people who listen to the show. But anyway, and
12-year-olds write about my sweet spot.
And then exactly. And then we had the celebration. And the celebration was maybe a little over the top.
Who cares?
But come on, man. It had been a long, 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 long time. In fact, I did do the math on this. This is since the great 72-73 team, this is the longest that it has been.
Without a
regular season conference title. It is the longest it had been. And so worth celebrating. And you had everyone walking up the ladder. Even Dante Harris with his foot in a boot walked up the ladder. And then of course it was Penny. It was Penny who got the last snip, and he was very clearly moved by the whole thing. And when he got on the microphone after the game, he summed it up in, is this six words? What a difference a year makes. What a difference a year makes. Yeah, he summed it up in six words. What a difference a year makes. And then he talked about, you know, the contrast. And at this point, as I said in the column, it's almost a fable. Like, we've said it so many times about, and he turned around, last year was a disaster, this year. But I mean, it's true. And he said, you know, he said, I don't know that I could have been as good a coach or effective a coach this year if last year hadn't happened. And to be 53 years old, as wildly successful across a whole bunch of fronts as Penny is, and to actually take a look at yourself instead of seeing critics everywhere, you see things you actually can be better at, takes a real level of perspective and maturity. And he did that. And so to see him cut down the nets, and then I watched Penny as he walked off the floor, but he doesn't walk off the floor. He wades into the stands. He autographs everyone. He is, and I wrote a whole column once about Penny and his the number of autographs he does and what an expert selfie guy he is. Like, you may think you know how to take a selfie. You don't have any idea compared to Penny. He'll take the phone from you and he'll get it perfectly. He'll position everything perfectly. He'll, and he did it. And then at one point, there's Brett Walkers, I think is his name. He said, "Well, can I take a picture with my daughter, Hope Grace?" And Penny said, "Yeah," but he didn't just like kind of stick his head up. This was they were a little up in the stands a little bit, and Penny just reached up and said, "Here," and he handed to the 4-year-old girl, and Penny bring like it's he what. What struck me
is... What's the child's full Christian name?
Penny, yeah. Penny took this job because he wanted to coach, of course. The money's not bad either, even though he has, I'm sure, plenty of money. But I really do believe that a large part of his motivation was to make Memphians happy, was to bring happiness to his people, to the city that he loves so much. It's one reason why it pained him so much when it was misery and when he perceived the people saw him as he said on Jason Johnson, he felt like he was hated. And so to be able to bring joy to people again, in the way that he has this year and the way that he did, culminating in Friday night, to then see him go out and basically, and then he's bringing joy to Memphians one at one, you know, every one Memphian at a time. It was just great to see. It was a great celebration. And it doesn't mean, by the way, that there won't be other Rocky moments to come. We'll see. Like, the tournament is yet to come. And then there's next year. And every year is a new opportunity to either excel or to not excel. And so we will see how it goes. But this was a great capper for what has been a great year. And then you wake up and then you see over at Bracketology at ESPN, you're an 8 seed.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think Memphis is going to be an interesting case study because I do think they have the highest volatility. Like, if you tell me the committee and Bracketology differ on one team, I think Memphis would be the most likely candidate.
Holy smokes, they're an 8 seed. They're an 8 seed. Unbelievable. Now, if you look at the bracket matrix thing,
yep,
there it's 7.24. is the average. A lot of people have them as high as a 6, right?
Yep.
A lot of them have them as a 6, but they're an 8 in certain circumstances.
They're just going to be, they're an interesting case study because their on-court metrics are of like a 5 seed, but their predictive metrics are not. And so that's why I think they're a fascinating case study because you can.
It is funny. It's their predictive metrics, meaning efficiency ratings, et cetera, whatever. That's where they are not a 5 seed. But if you just look at, and it is interesting, like in college football, we look at their records. Honestly, like we saw in the case of Indiana, whatever, we really care about their records.
Wins and losses matters most.
W's and L's, and then who you've beaten also matters, right? Not, less, maybe, but Will's W's and L's. But very little internal metrics of how you beat them. That's distinctly third.
Right. They would say it's a sample size issue. The predictive metrics, that's because fine. You only
right.
play
right.
you play but so it is, few
it's
games.
It's kind of interesting how it works. Whereas here... the predictive metrics, meaning the non-win and loss stats, basically, are what are dragging you down. Putting that aside for a minute, is there anything that can happen now that will not? Is this year a success no matter what happens next?
For
literally
me,
anything that happens next.
For me, 100%.
They can lose to Wichita State in the first game, and then they can lose the first game of the tournament, and it's a success.
Yep.
I think that's
true. Because
they
just had to get this thing back on the rails.
They had to have some great moments. They had to win something. They had to get back on the rails. And they had to, it will be disappointing if they lose to Wichita State and then lose their first round tournament game.
Yep.
But it will still be a successful season.
For me.
I think that's true. I think it's absolutely true. And then next year's successful season is to get back to the tournament, start building this back up. The weird thing is that once upon a time, the bar was set at certainly Sweet 16s or deep tournament runs or whatever. Things have crashed to such an extent, and the reality and the circumstances have changed to such an extent that now you sort of have to build back up to expectations. If you go back to the tournament a couple of years in a row, then all of a sudden we'll start looking at the Tigers like we now look at the Grizzlies. Like, come on, man, time to win something. Like, time to advance a little bit, you know? But I do think right now it's a successful season no matter what, which is kind of remarkable. You can do that. You could go lose to Wichita State, which is who the likely performance is, the likely matchup is. Wichita State plays South Florida, although Wichita State lost yesterday to Tulsa at home by 10, I think. So who knows? But Wichita State beat you the last time, and Wichita State knocked you out of the tournament last year. So there's plenty of reason to be fired up to beat Wichita State. But I think that's right. It is a successful season no matter what at this point. All right, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We got a lot of NFL stuff to talk about. And we will we can play some Grizzlies highlights because they had a successful weekend as well, a critical successful weekend. A little shaky there in spots, but feel pretty good about them going 2-0. Before that, I will tell you that if you want anything framed, the Frame Corner is the place to go. It is their 50th year. That's how you know they're good. Just like the, you know, I recently did a column within the last year or so on the Rendezvous anniversary. Was it 75? What was the Rendezvous?
Ooh.
Like, you don't last here for forever unless you're good at what you do. And O'Call's another one. O'Call has been here since the 1800s. O'Call has been here. And so there's some institutions in Memphis.
75.
Yeah.
Since 1848.
75. The Frame Corner, it's the 50th year. That's how long they've been doing custom framing. So if you have something, sports memorabilia, graduation photos, wedding photos, whatever it is, print some beautiful piece of art that you want framed, take it into the Frame Corner and let them do their beautiful work. 5035 Park Avenue, FrameCornerMemphis.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, celebrating quite the weekend because the Tigers won and the Grizzlies won two. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't see a lot of Friday's game because I was at the other game. I was at the Tigers game.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch all of last night's game, and I have to say, we're going to play highlights here in a moment, but Jaws attempted dunk. In the second half.
Pretty ambitious.
Holy smokes. And you know what? I suppose one good reaction could be, what are you doing, Ja? We need you healthy. I was that on top of the general performance from Ja over the weekend.
Maybe he's feeling better.
Well, when
did you try to spin on it?
Not even spin. When we last left this situation, Ja had played badly, and was saying, I shouldn't even be out there.
And wasn't on the injury report the next day.
And then wasn't on the injury report the next day.
That was a new one for me.
So what the hell? Like, what the hell is going on? And given what we were dealing with then, which was, oh my God, Ja's in a funk. I was saying, Ja's got to learn from Penny. Just, you know, look on the bright side. Realize people aren't out to get you, whatever else. All of a sudden, Ja puts forth those two performances, both terrific, both absolutely necessary. Friday, it was 31, and last night, it was 32. 31 and 32, and attempted to kill a man with a dunk.
Yep.
What the hell more do you want? And not only that, Chris Harrington, who was there, I'd urge you to read Chris's piece in the Daily Memphian. Chris talked to him, asked him what the heck was going on, and this is what he said. I'm just trying to take a pretty much different approach. As a competitor, if you feel like something isn't going your way, you get frustrated. Obviously, I've been frustrated, been receiving texts, so I'm just trying to go a different way about it. I don't feel like the officials are on my side, but I'm just trying to stick with it. Don't let them continue to take me out of my game, which is bad for my teammates. So I've been working on that. I'm still trying to work on it, but hopefully at some point it turns over. How about that? What more could you want?
It's the acknowledgement of, my whole thing is,
hey, that it's bad for my teammates.
Yes.
That's the key, which you have highlighted, is this, the body language.
Correct.
Brings down everybody. Don't let them continue to take me out of my game, comma, which is bad for my teammates. And so this is exactly. And then he looks up at Chris and he says, if I ever did anything bad to a ref or something, I'm sorry.
Again.
There you go.
Sometimes you gotta massage a few different situations there.
He asked whether he was the old Ja. He said he still didn't feel quite like the old Ja. What's different this season? Fouls, getting hurt, it makes you move differently. It makes you think differently. But I'm out there. So, you know, I just try to find a way. That's pretty much it. And that's why I'm hoping that everything turns around for me so I won't be so banged up. That, to me, Ja's two 30-point games, Ja trying to kill a man, and Ja literally expressing the thought that we had last week, which is, you know what? Sometimes you just got to suck it up and play because I don't need to be dragging people down with my negativity. Like, as Pete Pranica would say, bango.
Yes.
As Eric would say, ring it up and put three on the board.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you wanted to hear from Ja Morant and exactly what you wanted to see from Ja Morant. Listen, these were not decisive, triumphant victories. They have now.
No, they were uncomfortable.
They were uncomfortable at various points. They have now, in five straight games, they have trailed at the half. And that's Ja in the postgame was he wasn't exultant. He was talking about our first half. So we got to stop doing that. And they do have to stop doing it. But because it's been a while, Jeffrey, I don't know when we last played highlights. Let's just run through a few, and let's make them all Bane and Morant highlights, and I'll just let them play uninterrupted, and you all can revel in the joy of Bane and Morant and what they did last night.
Bane off the bounce, gives back to Edie left baseline, gets it back left corner. Pump fakes and Olynyk flies by. Bane comes into the paint, draws contact, floats it up and in, puts the Grizzlies in front 4-3, and he'll have a chance to push the lead to 2. Morant inbounds for Bane. He gets an open look at a 3. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. Desmond Bane with the pure stroke from the right side. He's got 6 early, and that cuts the lead to 4. Will he try it again? No, this time he goes around the back with a dribble, into the lane, hangs, scoops, scores the athletic play, draws the oohs and ahs from the crowd, and John Morant will go to the foul line for the potential and one. Up ahead, Bane. Bane, a full head of steam into the paint, running right-hand floater as he kind of got Trey Murphy backing up, floats it up and in at an awkward angle, and Desmond Bane with a couple of buckets in the early going, and the Grizzlies, with the first 6 points of the third, have cut the lead to 1. Williams, one dribble with his right hand, cross-court feed, he finds Bane open, fires the 3, we're tied at 66, ring it up, put 3 on the board, good patience by Vince Williams, and the cross-court pass leads to the open bucket for Desmond Bane, who's now got 24. Gives from Morant, wide open right wing triple, ring it up, put 3 on the board, Morant 2 of 7 from long range, now has 17, Grizzlies now 10 for 33 from beyond the arc. Rebound goes out to Wells, out to Morant, 3 for the tie, ring it up, put 3 on the board. The ball does fit in the little cylinder. That's a good thing. See some more of that. Grizzlies were just struggling to get anything to fall, down to 40.7%. Morant down to 10 on the shot clock, getting a screen on his left from Clark. Uses it to the foul line. Works from there. 5 on the shot clock. Launches a 17-footer and hits. John Morant buries the mid-range jumper. He's got 28. Bane with 28. 98-97 Grizz by 1. Here's Bane into the front court. Downhill at Olynyk. Bullies his way into the lane. Lays it up and in with the right hand. Olynyk was retreating, and Bane just gave him that shoulder check, created the space, and now he has 30.
So there you go. It was certainly up to Ja and Bane to do their thing. Now, listen, these were not just two bad teams. They're two bad teams, like...
Well, in dreadful situations.
Had
and
nobody, you yeah. know. I mean, no Zion, no McCollum, no DeJounte Murray. Like, it was... Now, mind you, the Grizzlies themselves, Santi played
Friday,
but then had something flare up, and so did not play yesterday, and Taylor Jenkins pretty much ruled him out. What's the injury report say? Taylor Jenkins pretty much ruled him out in his post game, he said he didn't.
Your favorite app has been having a morning.
So listen, these were, but they don't have to
release, because it's a back to back. I don't think they have to release until the afternoon.
You had to get the wins, and they got the wins. That was it. Like, you had to get the wins, and they got the wins, and then within them, they have been. You've seen the, you know, you've seen Ja sort of. Dramatic improvement in Ja, and Dez has been fabulous. Over Dez's last 5 games, he has averaged 26.2 points, 10.6 rebounds, and 5.8 assists. His rebounding has been absolutely tremendous. And then Ja, it wasn't just with the attempted dunk. His mid-range game yesterday, like, was really sweet. So that was great. Jay Huff, chimed in. He came. They could not hit a 3-pointer to save their lives. They took freaking 49 of them and missed 36 of them.
They were open for a reason.
They were hoisting them. They took 49 and missed 36. That's a nifty 27% from three. But Jay Huff comes in, immediately hits a 3, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, a steal. He was plus 14 in 14 minutes in a game that the Grizzlies won by 3. I'll be honest, I thought that Olynyk, like, they had 2 shots at a 3-pointer to send it into overtime, the Pelicans did. The first one seemed like a desperation hoist, but then the rebound bounced to Kelly Olynyk.
I thought it was in. The angle that we had on TV was, like, straight in line with it. I was like, well, that's...
Here we go. Here we go. OT. But it was not OT, and so the Grizzlies win Friday. The Grizzlies win again, and now they got the Suns tonight. You look up They've got 18 left. And it's really very interesting. They are one behind the Lakers. They are one behind Denver. They are one ahead of Houston. And they are four up on Golden State. But you look at their... Jaren seems to be coming along faster than expected, right? Jaren is coming along faster than anticipated. So that's a good thing. And then you look at what is happening with other teams. And you know me, Jeffrey. I would never wish ill on another team.
Never.
Never.
Not once.
Certainly when it comes to injury, never. But LeBron, out, baby.
Yep.
Groin. Could be a couple, could be a week, could be 2 weeks. Like that certainly, if you want to catch the Lakers, that certainly helps. And Amen Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Out. They play Orlando tonight. Now, Fred VanVleet, who has been out, is going to be back. Reed Shepard is out, though. So if you the woe is me from Grizzlies fans is understandable, particularly given last year. And then whatever, the ins and outs of this year as well, particularly Jaws just can't ever seem to be 100% healthy. But they are not alone in this. And now you've got, I do think the LeBron thing is big for the Lakers. Do you have a hope and do you have a prediction for what the Grizzlies can accomplish over these next 18 games in terms of where they can end up?
I mean, the hope for me would be figure out a way to scratch and claw your way back to the two. You're only a game out.
Do you think that's a realistic hope?
Yeah, because they still have the Lakers at home. Like they have a chance to flip that. And
it would be, I'll say this, given where we were last week,
mm-hmm.
to climb back up, God, it does. You look back at those games, though, man.
No, they looked god-awful, but this
you look at, and pocket in those wins, you could be back in second right now. You would be back in second right now if you just did what you were supposed to do in your homestand. You would be back in second right now.
I agree, but you also could have flipped last night. Olynyk's shot could have gone in.
No, you're right. You're right. The previous Suns game, the one game that you won in the homestand, could have flipped the other way, too. And there's no sense sitting here and worrying about what happened last week. It's still, it is all in front of you.
But it is a reminder when, if you are playing your worst basketball and someone else is playing good basketball, it is a reminder of there's a lot of basketball. And so we did this the last time the Grizzlies were in the playoffs. They were in the two, the Kings were closing hard, and everybody's freaking out. And the whole time I'm just like, let math play out.
So you are still hopeful.
Correct.
Or at least you're hoping, if not hopeful. Hopeful suggests a little bit of optimism in it. You are still hoping that they can get up. That would be a triumph to finish two. Do you want them to finish? Here's one question.
Well, yes, I want them to finish two and play Minnesota.
No. That's not my question. Do you want them to be in the
2-3?
Let's say three. Would you rather them be, because there is at least an argument that you'd rather them be four than three.
There's an argument to win the first round.
And that's exactly it. The argument would be, let's win the first round. But I'll be honest, I don't think it looks like Houston is going to be in the 4-5 game, right?
Yep.
I don't think Houston's any damn picnic.
No, I also don't fear the Warriors.
I think there is a – I agree. I think Houston,
I
as
am
physical
more scared
as
of
they
Houston,
are.
I am more scared of Houston than I am of the Warriors.
I am too.
And I'm more scared of the Clippers than I am the Warriors.
Well, but that's the thing, is that you don't know if you're going to get the – if you're in the 2-3 slot somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You don't know if you're going to get the Clippers, the Warriors, the T-Wolves.
Right.
The Kings are in there probably still.
They are still.
So I think the goal should be to finish in the 2-3 slot and not be in the 4-5.
Yeah.
I don't know that two is how doable two is, because you got to be both better than the Lakers and Denver. But I think being back in that 2-3 game, I don't think that is an unreasonable goal.
Two is not like the games early count too. And the Lakers and Denver played some bad basketball.
Yes, they're not, right. And if Jaren comes back, here's the if right now, what we've seen over the last two games is you got peak Dez.
Yep.
Right? You got peak Dez. You've got Ja, who's been damn good the last two games.
No question.
You add to that mix Jaren, and we may finally have the three, not at their all three at their peak of powers because Ja is still banged up, but I don't know. He tried to kill a man last night, and he said he's going to, you know, he understands the ways that his frustrations can be counterproductive. And so if that happens and you got LeBron limping over there and you're still not, I don't think it's far-fetched.
No, I don't either. I did also find myself on Friday wondering, as the Mavericks were getting whatever they wanted on the offensive end, despite playing with basically a borderline G League team.
Right.
I did find myself wondering, I was like, is Jaren like the best defender ever? Because like this team can't stop anybody, and they at least metrically, they're a good defense when they have Jaren. And if he's not on the floor, God, are they awful.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Anyway, so that happened as well. We got the Tigers winning, we got the Grizzlies winning too. It was a successful weekend for the home team. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington, who I'm just going to presume is driving back from New Orleans, he's got to be driving back from New Orleans. We'll probably get him, you know, somewhere. What's the route? Where do you through
so
Mississippi?
You just go I-55.
He's going to be somewhere in Mississippi.
Jackson, maybe?
Presumably. So we'll try to connect with Chris Harrington on the other side. We missed him on Friday. Before then, I will tell you, I was mentioning earlier that the Frame Corner has been around for 50 years, and I brought up Oak Hall. Oak Hall opened in 1859 during the presidency of James Buchanan. Just unbelievable. The Halley brothers is sort of who started it. And they moved here from Hamburg, Germany. And so they open up in 1859. And right now, if you walk over to Oak Hall, if you drive over to Oak Hall today or tomorrow or anytime this week, you will see one of the great clothing stores in the country. You don't last that long unless, honestly, you have great people, you have incredible merchandise, beautiful clothes, you stay current. You stay current. And honestly, it's a happy place. And right now, it is loaded with spring and summer merchandise. So maybe you're heading off on a spring break. Maybe you're heading off on a spring break trip. It would be the time to get in there. And you think, we got swimwear. It's time. Swimwear, a new spring sport coat, whatever it is. Since 1859. And the way they do that is with stunningly beautiful clothes and people who absolutely not only just know what they're doing, they're welcoming. They have transformed the way that I dress completely. So go see our friends at Oak Hall. We got to take a break. Chris Harrington on the other side, and then we'll talk about the NFL. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.